Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, hi there. Good morning. Wow. Rain today. Did you wake up to rain in our area? Or at least, okay, we won't call it rain. It was really kind of like sprinkles and enough to have to put the windshield wipers on. But that was such a change from what we've had.
Yeah, it was kind of misty, actually.
Yeah, okay, you got a little mist. Yeah, I just had, you know, a few drops, and it was like...
It was nice. You don't have to water the lawn today.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. It's like,
I turned off the lawn sprinklers, which, you know, dropped my water bill from $1,000 a month to
there
whatever.
There you go. Yes. I don't know if mine will come back from its crispy cinnamon toast look right now, it will by October, November.
Yeah, our garden has stayed beautiful and green, and we have flowers everywhere.
Oh, yay.
But the water bill just freaks me out every summer.
Hydration of the plants. Right. Well, hi there and good morning. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we talk health. We talk aging. We talk how to be a better you, better than you are today in 6 months, 1 year down the road. Be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and... sexier. Jerry Mixon usually jumps right on that, and today.
I was reading a study from MD Anderson Cancer Center right now.
Okay.
You missed the update.
I was distracted.
Yeah, that's okay. He's doing what doctors do. They read and get information every single day. It seems like medicine and news changes.
It's my breakfast reading.
It is your breakfast reading. So as we like to do at the beginning of our show, dive right into what's happening with COVID, because I'm sure that's at the top of the list
Let me get my head out of triple negative breast cancer and back into COVID.
That's right.
I was reading about, you know, statins and triple negative breast cancer.
Okay.
COVID. The CDC is driving me crazy.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't know. Whether they have been totally politicized or they've fired their scientists and hired morons, I have no idea. But some of their pronouncements over this last week or so make no sense at all. You know, they actually came out, the head of the CDC, and said, people that have been fully vaccinated should wear masks to protect the unvaccinated.
What?
Yeah, I heard that too.
And I was saying, what are you smoking?
Yeah.
So the people that are vaccinated that have a 95% reduction in instance of illness should wear masks to protect the people that choose of their own free will to not be vaccinated.
Get vaccinated, yeah.
No, you choose not to be vaccinated. You're taking your chances.
You're taking the chance,
It's your life, your choice. I'm not going to tell you, you know, I'm not going to mandate you have to do it. It's up to you. But I'll be damned if I'm going to spend the rest of my life in a mask because you choose not to be vaccinated. Come on. And their justification for this was a Rhode Island study, a little Portsmouth. It was not really a study. It was a cluster.
Okay.
There were a couple of hundred cases, all occurred in one fell swoop in Rhode Island, in which nearly 80% of the people that got infected had been vaccinated.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And so from that, they're saying, well, you see, if you're vaccinated, you better wear a mask because you might. And I'm saying, wait a second. So are you seriously telling me that you want us all to take the vaccine, but that you believe that taking the vaccine is going to increase your risk of getting sick?
No, that's the opposite.
Oh.
No, that's simply not true.
Right, it's not true.
But that's the reasonable conclusion from using that little cluster to tell everybody that if you're vaccinated, you got to wear a mask because you might infect the unvaccinated, because in this tiny cluster, there were 80% of the people infected had been vaccinated. Wow. Now, what they didn't bother to tell us until you dig into it,
yeah,
is that this cluster occurred 5 days after one of the country's largest conferences, parties. I don't know what you call it, but it's where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gay men got together to enjoy life, shall we say.
Okay.
Okay. And responsible gay men, those that are not HIV positive, are taking drugs to prevent them from getting HIV. And those that have HIV are taking drugs to suppress that disease so that they don't die.
Right.
And I approve of both of those things.
Yeah, those are good things.
You know, but that's not the typical American population. And yes, there may well be some abnormal patterns of COVID accumulation among people that are taking these drugs.
Okay. Yeah, because how does that interact with the,
yeah,
the vaccine
Who
or COVID?
Knows?
We don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm sure as hell not going to use that as the basis to tell the rest of the country to put your mask back on if you're vaccinated.
I agree.
Yep.
Especially when you look at the data for the rest of the country.
Right. Exactly.
You know? When you look at their data for the rest of the country, if you have been fully vaccinated, your chances of dying from COVID are 0.0007%.
That's a lot of zeros, and I like it.
And those few that are dying are usually over 85 years old or have multiple coexisting disease problems. And they have suppressed immune systems.
Yeah.
They're not doing well, you know.
Right.
You're an elderly cancer patient and you're exposed to COVID, you're at risk, mm-hmm, vaccine or no vaccine. The vaccine protects 95% of the people.
Exactly.
The other 5%, mm-hmm, are not protected.
Right.
Let's assume that we were to vaccinate every human being in the country. So we got just over 300 million people.
Right.
Well, 300 million people leaves 15 million people unvaccinated or unprotected.
Yeah.
Even if 100% of us got vaccinated, there would be at least 15 million of us that were susceptible to the disease anyway.
Hmm.
It's 5% of 300 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the vaccine is not perfect. And nothing done to or by human beings is perfect.
Right.
But if I can reduce my risk by 95%, I'm going to reduce my risk by 95%.
Certainly. And the number of hospital admissions from COVID are in people who have not been vaccinated.
Yes, they are.
Okay. The highest number of admissions is because of non-vaxxers.
And the highest number of admissions are in the states with the lowest vaccination rates.
Exactly.
You know, and so states in which only 30 and 40% of the people have been vaccinated, admissions are quite high.
Mm.
Here in Washington State, 70% of everybody over 18 has been vaccinated.
Yep. Okay. We're one of those states that have lots of vaccinated.
Now that means 70% of everybody over 18.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody under 18, those numbers are quite different.
Right.
Okay.
And under 12, it's zero.
Yes.
Have been vaccinated. Fortunately, that's the lowest risk group. Now that doesn't mean they won't catch COVID, but it means they're not going to, as a group, be high risk of being hospitalized, and they're not likely to die from it, except for that smaller group of teenagers with type 2 diabetes and obesity. Once more, body mass, weight, is the single biggest risk factor. And guess what? We have a lot of fat kids in America. And fat, being overweight, increases your risk of serious complications from COVID by 600%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, we are going to see some teenagers and some overweight children and some type 1 diabetics and some kids with cancer and immunosuppression that are going to be at risk. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's the real world. but it's not the general population.
Yeah. In fact, Jerry, you know, the current dilemma is as schools are getting ready to reopen, what should be the safety guidelines? And I'm hearing all kinds of things, but I think what it's coming down to is they're going to have everybody wear masks, even the teenagers that maybe
have been vaccinated.
Well, yeah, because we don't know who is and who isn't, right?
Precisely. But everybody over 12 is now eligible
is the better word, yes.
But, you know, once more, the school doesn't know because people object to showing whether or not they're thing. Mm-hmm. I'd say if you're vaccinated, you should not have to wear a mask in school. My daughter is only 9. She's starting the 4th grade. You know, unfortunately, I'm not allowed to vaccinate her yet. Mm-hmm. But if next month, as it appears the research studies are going well, it would appear that Pfizer and Moderna will be asking for permission to vaccinate children under 12, between 2 and 12.
Yeah.
I firmly believe I'm going to vaccinate my daughter. But even then, I have to wait 4 weeks and get her a second vaccination. Then I have to wait 2 more weeks to let it take, you know, take full effect.
Right.
So she'll be 6 weeks after they start. And if they're not allowed to start the vaccinations until maybe late September, early October, it'll be Christmas break.
Yeah.
Before, you know, a significant cohort of elementary kids can be protected.
Yeah. And then the other flip side of the coin is the boosters, right? What are we going to do with that?
Yeah. Well, once more, Pfizer and Moderna are asking for permission for boosters. Israel is giving boosters to everybody over 65.
Yes, they have started that already.
And, you know, if you look at the data, in elderly people, that is those of us over 60, because our immune systems are not as robust as younger people, our antibody levels are starting to drop after 6 months. Now, at what point will they drop enough to be significant? Well, that'll depend on the person. You know, if your antibody levels drop by 15% and you're lean and fit and healthy and have no comorbidities, you're probably at no significant risk. If, on the other hand, you're overweight or you're diabetic or you have any number of comorbidities, high blood pressure, et cetera, that 15% reduction in antibody levels could well be significant for you.
Sure.
So I'd say, you know, I would like to see the booster available.
Yeah.
Should not be mandated, but I think that everybody over 60 or 65 with significant comorbidities, such as high blood pressure or being overweight, should seriously consider said booster.
Yeah, especially when we're hearing what's happening to the variants, then definitely should consider that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where we are at the moment. But when the FDA, you know, used that Providence outbreak to tell us all we had to put on masks if we were fully vaccinated, I just almost lost it. I can't believe these morons are in power.
But what they're doing is they are starting to push back on reopening dates for many things, and it's setting us back because now so many states are requiring indoor masks again. Restaurants may be requiring it. Stores may be requiring it. And also
our governor is strongly recommending it.
Yeah. But it's not a mandate yet. But, you know, I've been reading about healthcare as well. Healthcare workers might be mandated soon.
Hospital workers, clinic workers, et cetera. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, thank you for the update on COVID. Exciting stuff always and lots of information and news. Okay, so you got a question. Maybe it's about COVID. Maybe it's about vaccines. We tend to get a lot of those each week. But we're here. If you have a question for one of the doctors, feel free to give us a call. 800-465-8770 is the number to call. And we will jump right into those phones in just a moment. That number again for 800-465-8770. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your phone calls and my experience. Yes.
Tell us about your experience.
I am.
Do you know this?
That's coming up next. Stay close.
My husband and I are, as you said, just right on schedule for falling apart in a very timely manner. So I think we're going to come to one of your seminars here the next time they come around. And I do thank you for all your advice on the radio.
Hey, hey, Paula, I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula,
yes, listen.
No one else could ever do. I've waited so long for school to be through. Paula, I can't wait no more for you, my love.
Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, who's singing along, and Dr. Samira Umat, who's
just telling Paula, that you darn well better wait.
Yeah.
Too young.
There you go. Oh, Leading Edge Medicine, sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinic. And this is where we invite you to come in for your free health analysis. Okay, and I did this yesterday, and it wasn't scary at all. If I can do this, you can do this, because I'm afraid of needles.
Uh-huh.
And doctors. And here I am every Saturday.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You never told us that, Lynette.
There we go.
I saved you a poke, by the way.
Yes, you did. And I thank you for that.
I did not know, though.
A health analysis. Come in. And what I did, too, was I brought my information from my primary doctor.
Oh, smarty pants.
So that, yeah, well, smarty doctor told me to do that. Dr. Umat said, bring that in and we'll compare and we'll see. And that was good. It was so good to see where I was. Mm-hmm. And did the pin, you know, the little blood prick to see where my A1C was, and also to do the in-body, which I was scared. I thought, okay, uh-huh. Do I get in a towel? Do I have to disrobe? I did not know.
Uh-huh.
No, didn't have to do that at all.
You do have to take your shoes off.
I did. I took my shoes off and stepped on this machine, put my hands on there, did some stuff. I found out I have a lot of muscle, apparently. This is good, right, doctors?
Yes,
this is
good. Awesome.
109.
Yeah, it was like 100.
You're
almost
supposed to have for your age and height.
Oh, good. Okay, so I'm normal in a good way.
You're super normal. Better than normal.
Better than I'm 8% normal. And so I was glad to have that because, you know, there are other things we need to be working on. And I'm a lot of water. And you called it fluff, too. We've got to get rid of some of that fluff and water. But you know what? It was good to know where I was.
Yes.
And what's going on. And, of course, I opted for the full panel, the next blood test.
Good for you.
Yes. And because
But
I
you
wanna
see,
know.
With the in-body, Lynette, had you ever seen that kind of information before anywhere?
No.
And so that's the thing. A lot of people have no idea. Slim people that mm-hmm. feel that, you know, they should be pretty normal are shocked when we look at their muscle mass and they're actually below normal. And so what they're carrying in their slim body is a lot of visceral fat, deep fat, which is pro-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And they don't know that that can be dangerous for them. So it's finding out where you stand, you know, and objective data helps you get there. Yesterday, I did a cardiometabolic panel on a gentleman. We were patting ourselves on the back. He dropped his LDL cholesterol to 78. And we were like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Because he's lost weight. He's come off of his medications. But when we did the Cleveland Heart cardiometabolic panel that was new to us, we found out that his LDL particles were high, that they were small, and that he is at high risk for plaque rupture. Mm. And so we would never have known that, and we would have gone on patting ourselves on the back. So now he needs to work harder to get that even lower.
Because having low cholesterol, or even low LDL cholesterol, is not enough.
Yeah.
You can subfractionate each form of cholesterol.
Yes.
And divide it into three and sometimes four different subfractions. And it turns out that the ratios of the very small, very dense LDL can put you at very high risk.
That's exactly right. Oh. Luckily for him, lipoprotein particle A was perfect, and his omega checks were great.
Okay.
His omega-3s were nice and high, and the 6s were low. So there were good things, but then we have to balance that. And so
that's the point is we look at the good, we look at the bad.
Right.
We want to reinforce the good. We want to minimize the bad.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things I have said for umpteen years in medicine is time and gravity eventually win.
Yeah.
You know, we are not immortal creatures. But our job as physicians is to shift the odds in your favor as far as we possibly can.
Right.
Once the odds are as far in your favor as we can get them, relax and play the game.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right.
But you win more often when the odds are in your favor.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so, Lynette, congratulations to you on taking that first step.
Yes, talking
and so those two tests get you the health advocate visit. And how was that?
And he was wonderful.
Oh, good.
So good, because he explained all the things that we talk about here on the show every single week. He had graphs to show me kind of where I was. So I didn't feel like he was talking down to me at all. It was like, hey, here we are. This is where we need to be. This is where we want you to. And it was just so much good information.
And personalized information.
It was personalized for me, not for some normal person in a book that they say, you know, with this wide range of normal. Because I've been normal. I've had good this, and this.
Absolutely.
For years. And it's like, but why do I feel like this? Where is my motivation? Where is my energy, you know, where is it? I want to know. And we're finding that out.
Right.
We're going to get some answers, and I'm very excited for that. So.
Right. So then the next step was you did a blood draw?
Yep. I did the blood draw, the big blood draw. No. For all the other tests that they're going to do, I'll come back in a couple of weeks, and we'll discuss that. And I can't wait for all that literature because I love to read for information. So
awesome.
71 pages, maybe even 72 for me.
Maybe.
We'll see. I feel like if I'm already over average in a couple of areas, then I can get the information. A health analysis, a free health analysis appointment. You know, the doctors love you. They want you to be healthy. They want you to be stronger, faster, smarter, leaner, and sexier. I know I got that out of order. But, you know, they really do. They have a heart for you, Dr. Jerry and Dr. Samira and their entire staff. You come in. You don't need to be afraid. They're going to explain things, what you hear on the show, and you're going to get some answers so that you can finally move forward instead of just kind of guessing. Well, my friend takes this, so maybe I should take that. Not a good thing to do. A free health analysis for you, and this is how you do it, just like I did. You make a phone call. Yep, 1-866-86-YOUNG. And did you know you can actually do that from your car? Because I did. Yeah, I couldn't be on my phone. Yeah, I said 1-866-86, and they said, you want to call Longevity Medical Clinic. I'm like, yeah, you can do that. 866-86-YOUNG. So you can call or go online. You can do that, too, if you like looking at videos, looking at information, kind of getting to know about Longevity Medical Clinic. Go to our medical, our website, which is lmclinic.com. There you will see the button that pops right up that says free health analysis appointment. Click on that. Pick a day. Pick a time that works best for you. You even get to pick a clinic near you. Kirkland, Tacoma, even Linwood. So any of those, you make your appointment and fill out some information. And then you come in, and there you go. You get started on your health journey, and you'll have a little zing in your step, knowing that you're doing something good for yourself, like I am. And after I talk to Howie. Okay, I'll think of that, because he's one of the little Donald Duck. Howie, yeah. Okay. He was wonderful. So you can do that. Did you get that phone number? It's 866-86-YOUNG. Or go to our website. Find out more about aging and get the information you need. And if you're already been diagnosed with some things, instead of just taking some things to cover up those symptoms, why don't you find out what's causing that? And let's get healthy together, okay? LMClinic.com is where you go to make, that free health analysis appointment.
Yeah, what I'll just add, Lynette, is that, you know, after that first visit with the health advocate, you still are not obliged to become a patient in the practice.
No.
You can then choose to do the blood draw or not. Mm-hmm. Most people do choose to go ahead and do the blood draw.
Like I did, yeah.
And then that blood draw will allow you to visit with the doctor for 1 hour to go over your labs. Now, there's a lot of information that they will provide you. So come prepared to kind of just, you know, take it all in because nobody else is really looking at so many different things that we look at. And then once you've seen all of that, if it aligns with your philosophy, if you see what you were thinking but didn't know, or if you think you learned something that you want to manage, then you can say, okay, I'm ready to move ahead. And then you can decide to become a patient in the practice.
Right. This is not a hard sell thing. They're here to help you. One of the things that I loved was that they will actually do my blood work and do my lab test, not once a year.
Several times a year.
Several times a year, yeah, to see the results, what's
at
happening.
At least three times, and yeah, sometimes four or five, depending on how much you need.
Yeah, so interim labs are done on an as-needed basis.
That's right.
Okay. And doctor time is available on an as-needed basis. Yeah. There's no limit.
There's no limit. We do a minimum of four times a year.
That's
every
right.
3 months.
Every three
well,
months.
That's a minimum.
Yes.
And some people need four, some need five, some need six.
Yeah.
It's what you need.
Yeah.
But I do want to make one important correction in,
yes,
in
please
one of
do.
Comments. And Howie is not one of Donald Duck's nephews.
Oh, you're right. It's Huey, Louie, and Dewey.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
That's why I kept calling.
That's
Huey.
Right.
Okay, I won't so do that. I only
Huey,
met him once.
Dewey, and Louie. Those okay. are the nephews.
Not
of
to be
Duck.
Confused with Howie.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank
this is important.
You. Okay. All right. And Dr. Samira is doing the face palm right now. And but we're having fun. We do every week. But we want to let you know why we are here, to get you healthy and get you being the best that you can possibly be. And you need to do what I did, which is get into the clinic and make that health analysis appointment. Get your information so that you're armed and ready to go and make the right choices instead of just guessing. All right. Taking your phone calls.
Minnie Duck is going to get really upset, you see.
That would be Daisy me. Duck.
Thank you for the
not to correct
okay,
you, Doc.
Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse, Daisy Duck. Yeah.
Okay, if you have any questions, right, even guys. Disney, no. No, we're talking your health. We're talking what's going on medically. Maybe you got a diagnosis recently and you're kind of wondering, okay, what does this mean for me? It's scary. Talk to the doctors. If you've got a question about maybe coming into the clinic, what they're doing, some of the tests that they're doing and how they can get you healthy. We would love to talk to you today. Here is that number to get live in the studio right now. It's 800-465-8770. That number is 800-465-8770. And we would love to talk with you. We have someone on the line. We're going to get back to him just after this break. Stay close. Leading Edge Medicine continues right now.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now.
If you're thinking about attending a seminar, go. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together, holding hands.
Hey, welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Drs. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We're answering your questions today, talking about Leading Edge Medicine, Longevity Medical Clinic, getting you in and getting you healthier by coming in for that free health analysis appointment. So important. We've had so many people and nothing but good news and stories of, wow, wish I would have done this sooner. Just great stories. We love sharing those little testimonials with you from real people that could be your neighbor next door or somebody that you know of. So if you have a question, we'd love to answer that or do our very best here with the doctors. You can be on the radio live. It's not scary. We do it every Saturday. Here is the number. It's 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And Jerry from Everett, we're going north today. You got some rain where you are, Jerry. Welcome.
Good morning. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're kind of
how
loving
you,
this.
How are you, doctors? Yeah, I listen to you every Saturday.
Well, thank you.
A little nervous here. 2 points. Mm-hmm. I was a longevity member about 12 years ago. And then due to moving, we kind of dropped out of the program. Then as of Thursday, we went back in and did our tests and did our blood draws.
Good for you.
And,
wonderful.
And so we meet with the doctors on the 23rd. I don't know. Second point is, on May 10th, I went to the VA clinic in Mount Vernon, got my vaccine shot. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've dropped 20 pounds, lost my energy, I can't eat. And I used to go to the gym 5 days a week and work out. All the energy's gone. And
do you know which vaccine you got?
Pardon?
Do you know which vaccine you got?
The virus or
Johnson & Johnson or Moderna or Pfizer?
The first one. Yeah, not Johnson & Johnson. Johnson, the other one. Yeah. So about 2 weeks ago, I developed this pain in my shoulder. So I went to the emergency room and they did a CAT scan and everything was fine. But I just have no energy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I can do
fix that.
Between now and when I see the doctors.
Well,
any advice?
And it'll also be between now and when we can actually get your lab work back and start you on some,
right,
you know, some therapy. So we're probably looking at a little longer time than that.
Yeah.
You know, the highest complication rate from the vaccines, and vaccines are going to injure a certain number of people. That's just, you know, every vaccine ever developed does. Johnson & Johnson has the highest complication rate. Pfizer is next and Moderna is lowest. But, you know, there is a discrete injury rate for every vaccine. We're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. And that includes every intervention we do. So, you know, our task is to provide people with as few as many benefits as possible, balanced against as few downsides as practical. But there is always a downside to every decision we make in medicine. So
why do I lose my appetite the way I did?
Well, that's an interesting question. And, you know, the thing I'm wondering about is, what is your taste? Do you smell food as well as you did? Does it taste as good?
Probably
or
not.
Are we
losing? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is the older technology. It uses the traditional technology involving an adenovirus that has been modified to help you make antibodies to the coronavirus. And so they actually are using an inactivated virus in Johnson & Johnson, and that's why you have the highest complication rate. You know, Moderna and Pfizer are just messenger RNA that just tells your cells to make antibody to the spike protein, and that's it.
Right. Yeah. And in the short term, you know, all vaccines do carry the immediate side effects, which is at the injection site, pain, decreased range of motion, swelling, redness, and then also fever, lethargy, loss of appetite. But they are usually short-lived. So
usually they clear in a few days.
Right. I mean, I remember when I got my vaccine, I told you to get Tylenol, and you didn't even need it, but I took it. So everybody's a little bit different. I've heard that some of my physician colleagues took a day off work, or some even actually took 2 days off. I actually know one lady who had to go to the hospital and was admitted overnight because she got so sick from the vaccine. But she recovered. So some people will get sick. Some people, like you, Jerry, will have absolutely nothing.
That's right.
And, you know, the younger kids, I've heard the teenagers had absolutely nothing. They have a little pain, and then, you know, life goes on. But everybody's response is a little bit different.
Yep.
We don't really know why people respond differently. But May 10th to now, it's a little longer than I would have suspected.
Yeah. I mean, that's 2 months.
Yeah. Because I do not take any drugs. I take a blood thinner. That's it.
Okay.
So, well, you know, at this point, you know, about all we can do is commiserate, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you get in and we get your laboratory work.
Yeah.
and we can get an idea of what's going on. You know, we'll be looking for your inflammatory markers and your anabolic hormone loads and so on, and we'll see if we can figure out why you're fatigued. Was the weight loss for you a benefit or a loss? I mean, were you already skinny and now you lost another 20 pounds? Or were you a little heavy and this is okay?
No, I'm a 6 foot one and I keep my weight about 198 to 205.
Okay.
Okay, pretty good.
And now I'm down to 180.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's too skinny.
Yeah.
Well, we need to know why.
We need to build up your muscle
like
mass.
I feel like I came out of a concentration camp.
Oh, dear.
Well, we will be looking, and someone that's got that sort of symptoms, we'll be looking closely at your anabolic hormone load, see what's going on. You know, are you losing muscle mass? And if so, what can we do to rebuild it?
Right.
And there are usually things we can do.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking forward to working with you and see what we can do to kick things back into high gear and get you out dancing in the streets with a grin on your face.
That's right. Yeah, no, look at the positive. I know that it's hard right now. Know that because of the vaccine, you are protected from a more serious COVID infection.
Yes.
So at least you have that. And I know you're not feeling the best right now, but focus on the positive and then give us a chance to look at your labs and see if we can help you turn this thing around, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, we'll see you in a couple weeks, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bye-bye, sir. Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, questions. We're taking them on the phone today. Here is the number to call in. Jerry did good. He was afraid and was a little nervous to get on the radio, but that's okay. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll go to a break here in just a few moments. But, doctors, you were talking about, he was mentioning his weight loss that he had.
Yeah.
And it was important not to lose that muscle mass.
But
so
you know
how do you
what?
Do that?
The thing is that, if he had gotten COVID, he might have been worse off. So at least he's protected from that. We've seen some horrific pictures of people who got COVID, had horrible muscle loss, weight loss, and some rebounded, but some didn't.
No. And there's a significant instance of long COVID, of people that recover from the initial COVID infection, but then have long-term fatigue and exhaustion and appetite changes and so on. And we're still trying to figure out what it is about COVID that's doing that.
Right.
It would appear in the early studies that it probably involves reactivation of previous viruses that are still in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So the Epstein-Barr virus and some herpetic viruses and so on that your immune system has suppressed and have been quiescent, but then the COVID infection kind of decreases your ability to fight them. And many people seem to be getting elevated antibodies to a variety of other viruses that are actually the cause of the long COVID. So it's probably not the COVID per se that's making them fatigued. It's probably the other viral illnesses that are now resurgent in their systems.
Okay. And because of the COVID, not the COVID vaccine.
Right.
To be clear.
It's the infection that seems to do it to them. So, you know, we've got my biggest worry about COVID infection. And I say, we've only got a couple of minutes.
Yes, a couple of minutes. But that's okay. You can start, and then we'll.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the bad part, and then I'll tell you the good part after the break, okay?
All right.
The bad part. Every virus that has a neurologic component increases the risk of dementia later in life, okay? Everything from herpes. You know, herpes infections grow in the nerves. The type 1 grows usually on your lips. Type 2 on the genitals. Herpetic infections double your risk of getting COVID, or not of course, of getting dementia.
Dementia. Okay.
So if you've ever had a cold sore, if you've ever had genital herpes, you have an increased risk of dementia in later life. If you get shingles, this is a chickenpox virus that has been quiescent in your nervous system for years. And if it flares, you raise your risk of getting dementia in future years. Mm. So all the shingles sufferers. And COVID we know does impact neurologic systems. That's why the decrease in smell and taste and fatigues and so on. So the question is, will people who actually get COVID also have an increased risk of dementia? Now, those are the bad things, okay? Viruses that involve the nervous system, even peripheral nerves, all increase risk of dementia. Now, I will tell you the really good stuff about vaccines, including COVID vaccine, when we get back.
All right. Oh, that was such a good tease, Dr. Jerry Mixon. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and you stay right there. Don't go away. Here's that number to get through if you have a question. 800-465-8770 for Leading Edge Medicine. The number is 800-465-8770. Be live on the radio with Dr. Umat, and Dr. Mixon will return with that good news in just a moment.
I've been away for 5 weeks. I've been in Italy, and I got to tell you, I kind of miss you guys on the weekend. I do have this rare honesty that you find in Europe, but you don't see in the United States. Everybody's too careful about what they say and don't say, and I just love the fact that you tell it like it is.
I see Dr. Jerry Mixon doing the twist. Yeah. Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. We love being here with you every Saturday morning. This is hour number one. We've already talked about the updates with COVID, what's going on in our world. If you missed it, we'll give you another little update here pretty soon. But taking your calls, too, health-related calls here on Leading Edge Medicine, 800-465-8770 is that number to call. And we're heading right over to Redmond. Susie has a question
Whoa, I got so excited.
Wait a second, Susie, just a second.
Susie, you have excited this woman.
I know. Doesn't take much on a Saturday morning, I tell you. Okay, so.
How much coffee have you had, Lynette?
I know. Look at that. Just my one cup. Oh, boy. Okay, so you were talking about the bad news.
I did the bad news.
The bad news of the viruses.
Viruses raise the risk of dementia, and because COVID also has neurologic impact, the presumption is that people who catch COVID will probably also be at increased risk of dementia, which is an important reason to get the COVID vaccine so that you don't get increased risk of dementia in later life. But here's the really fascinating stuff. This concern has triggered an enormous amount of research over the course of the last year into vaccine impacts on dementia. And it's turning out that the more vaccinations against viral illnesses that you've had, the lower your risk of dementia.
Oh, wow. Okay, you better say that one again.
Yeah. The more vaccinations, the more vaccines you have received in your lifetime, the lower your risk of dementia in later life.
Interesting.
And they've gone back and even looked at records of kids who had DPT shots.
Yes.
Diphtheria, tetanus. Yes. Okay, the childhood DPT shots, and then you get the boosters periodically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The more of those boosters you've had in childhood and early adulthood, the less risk of dementia you have in later life.
Wow. Okay.
They've even looked at people who had bladder cancer and have had the BCG vaccine, which was actually designed for tuberculosis.
Right.
But we use it as an immune stimulator. People that get a bladder cancer, we inject the BCG vaccine around the bladder cancer, and it stimulates their immune system to come in and destroy the cancer. They have a 27% lower risk of dementia than people that didn't get the BCG vaccine for the same cancers.
Wow.
Oh,
that's pretty impressive. That's a lot. 27%.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so flu vaccines lower your risk of dementia, of Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So people who get their annual flu vaccination are at lower risk of Alzheimer's disease. people that have had their DPT, people who travel internationally and get lots and lots of shots as adults because they need them for international travel, lower your risk of dementia.
Interesting.
And so the question is, are we going to see the same thing with the COVID vaccine? Mm. Is this also going to lower the risk of dementia in America?
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting. Raises more questions, but yes. But very interesting.
Every study I read, and I spend my life reading studies, every study I read will answer a question and raise five more.
Oh, yeah.
There's no end to the questions percolating.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every school year, you are required to provide evidence of immunization for your children.
Yes.
And I remember I'm the mom that's calling at the nth hour. Please, please, can you give me the records? Can I have the records in 12 hours? I need it.
I mean,
you've had all summer, lady. Why didn't you get the records?
My daughter, my nine-year-old, just went to her pediatrician this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to make sure that her vaccinations and stuff are up to date, and that indeed we have the records for the school that starts, first of September.
Yeah, I learned the hard way, but this year I actually did. I made that call last week, and then they told me that he is up to date. So that was such a relief. I said, please, pretty please, can I have the records early this year?
Yes. Yes. Oh boy.
But I had just read the papers before she went to the pediatrician.
Ah.
And I said, gee, I hope she needs another vaccination. I want to protect my little girl.
There, yes, you do.
My little princess.
Aww.
So.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, we got that good news. That is good news.
That is very good news, at least for those of us that get. Now, those of you out there that are so proud of the fact that you never get your flu shot, I'd like to point out that by not getting the flu shot, you're raising your risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Another reason why.
Go get your flu shot.
There you go. He's talking to me and you and anyone out there that has not had their flu shot yet. Okay, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry, Dr. Samira. I'm Lynette, and this is live radio. Okay, Susie, thank you so much for your patience and hanging with us. Susie calling from Redmond. And Susie, you may have a question concerning hormone therapy. Is that right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
How can we help you?
Thank you. Well, I'm 68. I used the Clemera Pro patch for years and years. Maybe 5 years ago, I cut it down, started cutting the patch in half because I thought I'm getting older. I probably don't need that much. This summer, I had a breast biopsy, which was negative, but it scared me, so I quit the patch. And now I'm thinking, I sort of wish I hadn't. I don't sleep quite as well. I'm a lightweight. I want to protect my bones. But I've heard that once you quit, you can't restart hormones.
Why not?
So, just wondering about that.
I can't think of any rational reason why, if you quit, you can't restart.
Ooh, okay. Let's find out why.
Okay. Now, there are some things. You know, for instance, we know that women who go on hormone therapy within 10 years of menopause. So if your last period was at, say, 52, if we put you on hormone therapy by 62, we can significantly lower your risk of breast cancer. Okay. The estrogen does not cause breast cancer. Frequently, doctors have used a progestin with the estrogen.
And I think the Clemera patch has progestins and estrogen.
It has both, yeah.
Yeah.
But the progestins, the synthetic progestins, raise the risk of breast cancer. The estrogen doesn't. Okay.
Oh, okay.
The most common progestin, I'm not sure which one is in Clemera. Can you look up and tell me which progestin is in that? Probably Northendrone or one of the similar synthetics. Real progesterone does not raise the risk of breast cancer. The most common progestin used in America, medroxyprogesterone acetate, sold under the brand name Provera, raises the risk of breast cancer by 67%. So estrogen doesn't raise your risk. Provera does raise your risk. Estrogen with Premarin, estrogen with real progesterone does not raise the risk of breast cancer.
It's levonorgestrel.
Okay, levonorgestrel, which does raise the risk slightly, but not as much as the Provera. So, okay. So you've got a good estrogen. You're using estradiol, which helps protect your brain. helps protect you against cognitive loss. That's the good news. The estradiol does help you with your sleep. It helps you with bladder and vaginal function. It helps you to not dissolve your bones as fast. So those are all good things from that estrogen. Mm-hmm. The studies that said that if we lower the risk of breast cancer by about 30% by putting you on estrogen within 10 years of menopause, many doctors have taken that to a next but somewhat irrational step. They've said, well, then if it's been 11 or 12 or 15 years, then we shouldn't use the estrogen. We lose the protection against breast cancer, but you still have bones. We don't want your bones to thin out, and you still have a vagina, and you still have a bladder, and you still have a brain, and you need sleep, and you need cognition and memory and verbal skills. And all of those things are still helped by estrogen, even if it's 20 and 30 years after menopause. So, yeah, we don't get the protective benefit on your breast. Because if you go too long after menopause, your estrogen has been low for too long. The damage has already been done. The mutations in the breast tissue are more likely to occur. So we don't protect you as much, but it doesn't do you any harm. And it does help protect you against osteoporosis, sleep disorders, memory loss, your vaginal function and bladder function.
Yeah.
So, I still use estrogen in women long after menopause, recognizing that I'm not protecting the breast, but I am protecting the rest of the body.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of our women don't want to come off of estrogen.
Sure.
So I should find
an estrogen without the progesterone?
Progesterone, not with the synthetic progestin.
Right. Remember, the hormones balance each other. They're not opposite of each other, where estrogen helps stimulate the brain, progesterone helps you relax and helps you sleep better. Mm-hmm. So if you still have your uterus, sometimes there's a question of, do you need progesterone or not? And if you don't have your uterus, they go, well, there's no need for progesterone. But they balance each other regardless of whether you have your uterus or not. And progesterone is calming, helps with sleep, and helps reduce anxiety.
And it improves stress tolerance.
Huge, used in post-traumatic stress disorder and even in men. So there are advantages, but the synthetic progestins do increase risk. It's the normal bioidentical progesterone that does not.
Okay, so is there a patch that has that with the estrogen?
No.
Well, you can get creams. You can get creams.
Yeah.
Okay.
We use transdermal creams instead of the patches.
Yeah.
And there are advantages. For instance, if I use progesterone cream on your face and neck, over the course of 3 to 6 months, it will actually make the skin on your face and neck thicker and more elastic, and it'll fill in a lot of the small wrinkles and creases, so you don't need Botox as much. Okay? It gives you prettier, more elastic skin. So why not get the cosmetic effect of the progesterone at the same time you're getting the systemic effect?
So I also sometimes will use my progesterone in women who are not sleeping well. So I split the dose, and I'll give them a part of their dose at night. Mm-hmm. And it really does a great job in helping improve their sleep quality.
I use my progesterone at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
I put a progesterone cream on my face and neck. And not only do I want to be beautiful for
men in
his mid-70s.
Yes, you do have beautiful skin, Dr. Jerry. Well, I've noticed that. Yes.
I want to sleep well.
Okay.
And old guys in their mid-70s don't generally sleep well. And so I use the progesterone to help me sleep.
So, Susie, in short, there are definitely advantages to going back on hormone replacement therapy, especially if you're having symptoms. Okay?
All right. Does that help you, Susie?
I am. It does.
Wonderful.
It tells me I can't go back on the patch. I need to come see you guys and get some cream.
There you go. That's right. Yes. Hey, we have to take a quick break. And Susie, yes, we'd love to see you make that health analysis appointment. Back in just a moment, 800-465-8770, taking your questions today on Leading Edge Medicine.